Blog Talk Radio.
Mark the Rabbit Hole.
Broadcasting live from the fog of Neptune comes a wascally rabbit, exploring the unknown, traveling the astrological landscape, visiting secret worlds, dispelling the English language. So put on your bunny ears and hop down the rabbit hole with your host, Mark Matheny.
Don't go chasing rabbits. Mark, time to awaken.
Okay, little Mercury in retrograde action there. The samples kind of doubling up on themselves now. So, welcome to the first primetime edition of Mark the Rabbit Hole. And we want to say hi to our friend Allison out there in the chat room, one of our dedicated listeners who almost shares a birthday with me, one of our good friends here, who's also been a guest before, and we will have her on again in the future. So tonight we have another one of our good friends, and opposed to having a similar birthday, his birthday is exactly opposite of mine. We're going to have our good friend Robert Phoenix on here in just a minute, and we will find out what he's been up to. I know he's been a busy man. I know if you are a Blog Talk Radio listener, Robert has a couple awesome shows that I totally love on the network, and I've been on there once and called in a couple times. But he has I'll let him plug them a little better than I can, but he has the Friday Farscape show that will be on tomorrow. And then I believe he has a Sunday evening show now as well. And his shows are absolutely fantastic. If you have not checked them out, I highly advise you to. If I get going and talk too fast, I'm having my Mars return here, so you'll have to excuse me once my brain gets revved up here. If I start babbling, somebody will have to throw something at me. So before we're going to bring Robert on here in a second, just a couple quick announcements. If you're in the Central Ohio area, I'm having my first astrology meetup of the year. It'll be this Saturday, 7 p.m. at Mystic Nirvana, 133 South State Street in beautiful downtown Westerville. Shout out to Brenda, who gave me a place to start teaching classes about 6 years ago, and has been a big supporter as well. So we will be there this Saturday night at 7. You'll be getting a handout. I will be going over all the major astrological energies for the year, and we'll be talking probably a little bit about some of the stuff we're talking about tonight, and we'll be going in detail a bit on David Bowie's chart as well, but mostly we will be looking at the energies that we will be having over the next year, and you'll be getting what is at least a 6-page handout with all the cool and I'm sure entertaining planetary stuff that will be coming up. I am available for readings. You can friend me on Facebook. You can email me. You can go to www.twofishesastrology.com and there's a contact there, or you can email me at twofishesastro@gmail.com or mmatheny1984@yahoo.com. What else we got? Drum Circle this Saturday night at 9 at Garcia's, So that'll be, if you want to come to class and make your way to Jump Circle after that. And then we'll be at Ash Cave Drumming on Sunday, September 7th, which is Super Bowl Sunday. Also, big shout out to our friends Matt Savinar and Heather Renee Horton for the new edition of Hexagon, which I just got my little paws on today, came in the mailbox. And there's an article by our good friend Heather Renee Horton on there, another friend of the show. I've been on her show many times, and she's been on here as well. I'm probably going to be staying with this evening format, and the next show is looking like Wednesday, February 3rd, time undecided. I have a special friend that I've made on Facebook, very knowledgeable person, professional classical pianist, and tarot master and wonderful astrologer. So I will be sending out an announcement very shortly. So I believe from deep in the heart of Texas, I think we have our friend Robert Phoenix on the line.
Howdy, Mark.
How's it going, my friend?
Oh, well, it's going pretty well. It's starting to get very cold here. I was in Philadelphia for the last 5 or 6 days. I left Wednesday of last week and came back. Thursday of last week, came back last night. And it was very cold in Philadelphia, like about 18 degrees and hard winds. And I talked to my son, and I asked him, I said, what's the weather like in Texas? Oh, it's great. It's like 70 degrees here. So I was very enthusiastic about returning to Texas. However, it seems like the cold weather has followed me. And we're about to, I think, all experience some very intense meteorological phenomena this weekend. And it's going to be mostly countrywide. I know on the West Coast they've got the El Nino, which has been unleashed by the fact that they're no longer doing their geoengineering, their aerosol spraying and weather control off the West Coast. So they're going to have their dramatic weather. And I think we're going to have a lot of dramatic weather all across the country this weekend. It should be very interesting. Other than that, I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on, Mark.
Oh, we appreciate you taking the time. I know your schedule's been crazy lately. So there's just... I had just checked in with Robert a week or so ago on Facebook just to see how he was doing, and there's just so much happening and just so much stuff that I like talking to you about that I kind of been pestering you a little bit, so sorry if I've been a little I know we're on the same wavelength, and
it's all good. You know, I tend to go in these cycles. And maybe it's the Mars-Jupiter opposition I have in my chart. But so I go into these really active cycles where I just have my head down and I'm doing readings for people. And, you know, it's just, you know, kind of I'm in a tunnel when that happens. And it seems like lately that's been happening a lot more. And so I tend to, you know, lose track of sort of the strange phenomenon that's taking place around us because I've just got my head down. But every now and then I peek up and I look around during these phases, and there's a lot happening right now. I mean, you know, we've got, of course, David Bowie passing away and, you know, leaving the planet, going back to space, theoretically, and a lot of the other, you know, quote-unquote rock stars and Alan Rickman. And did you see that thing with The Simpsons where Alan Rickman and Bowie were singing All the Young Dudes? Did you see that?
Yeah, I did see that, and I did a little research. That episode was actually from a couple years ago, but that is very bizarre. And, of course, that's not the first time that's happened with a Simpsons episode. So
what is up with Matt Groening? This is what I want to know. He's an Aquarius, right? Have you looked at his chart?
With who?
Matt Groening.
Matt Groening. Not recently. I've not looked. I know I looked at his chart a few years ago. I think I did a little Simpsons thing in one of my classes. But I remember he's an Aquarius, but that's all I recall of it.
So he's an Aquarius. Now, what's up with him now? How is he so prescient in his, like, predictive, you know, sort of modeling in The Simpsons? Everybody knows there's the famous still with Bart holding up the 9/11 placard. It was like a tour of New York City, and there's the Twin Towers, and there's the Nine. You know that one, right?
Yep, saw that one.
And then there's Trump, the whole Trump sequence.
Oh, yes.
And now we have Bowie and Rickman, both passing within a few days, singing all the young dudes together on this. So what is going on here with Matt Groening? This is my big question. Is he, number one, is he that in the know that he is part of a kind of cadre of predictive programmers who kind of understand how reality is going to go down? Does he time travel? Is he just freakily psychic? Do they work with sort of demon entities? Do they summon these, you know, kind of Enochian spirits to kind of tell them what's going to happen in the future? I mean, it's at the point now where it's beyond coincidence with Groening and The Simpsons. It's bizarre.
Yes. I mean, because this expands even beyond. I mean, there's been some things on Family Guy, and then, I mean, probably the most famous one I would think is the Batman Dark Knight movie where the shooting was in Aurora, Colorado, and during that, in that movie, they are pointing at a fictional map, and they point to Sandy Hook right before the Sandy Hook happens.
So are you talking about the actual Batman movie or Family Guy where they're doing the Batman movie?
The actual Batman movie, the Dark.
That's right.
So I don't really know if these people are that in the loop, or I mean, maybe they're, you know, there's algorithms and stuff they do to where, like, the energy of the planet was higher right before 9/11. So is it a collective unconscious thing that these people able to tap into, or are they in the know, or does somebody from, you know, some agency or some group say, hey, we'll sponsor you, or we'll buy a bunch of airtime or make a donation if you throw in a little message, you know, sort of like this is going to sound awful. I can't believe this is going to come out of my mouth, but it is, of course. I mean, kind of like product placements.
You're right. No, you're absolutely right.
The neurolinguistic programming taken to like another level.
Well, okay, so let's climb down a rabbit hole, shall we?
Yes, let's.
Okay, so by now, most people have some understanding and awareness that the 60s were manufactured.
Correct.
Okay, so if the 60s were manufactured, and you go, and there are documents that will even attest to this, that the CIA had a hand in creating modern art, that Tavistock was connected to the Beatles. And by the way, I believe Tavistock was also connected to David Bowie, and we can talk about that a little bit later. But so if that's the case, and this is back in the 60s, right, the 60s, with the technology that was available in the 1960s, and these agencies have a hand in creating a consensual reality for any number of reasons and purposes, why would they not be engaged in the same kind of creation of like an artificial simulacra or some kind of predictive programming model, but with a lot better technology at their disposal? This is where my head is at with it.
Yes, it would be much easier. I mean, because for anything to exist, there has to be, I mean, and this kind of backs up that we create our own reality and we create our universe, is for something to exist, it has to there has to be a pathway created in our brain. So this kind of goes back to the rules of magic or black magic of you know, and we can quote, you know, thousands of scenes from movies and stuff where things have happened afterwards that mimic that also. But, you know, they have to create these pathways. You know, it goes back, it all goes back to Dracula. there's just a lot of truth in the whole Dracula story. I mean, the vampire has to be invited in. This goes back to the rules of magic. It's like they have to show you what they're going to do beforehand. And as it says in V for Vendetta, you know, all that is required is your unwilling consent. As long as you do not dispel, as it says in my theme song, you know, what they want to do, you're giving your consent for these things to happen. And this is, I get into this discussion, all the time with my friends about, you know, do you address this stuff and give it energy, or do you ignore it? To me, you don't ignore it. To me, where I'm at this part of my journey, when I see spells being cast, you call it out. And I mean, you don't linger in it and dwell in it, but you call it out. This is what they're doing. This is what they're trying to do. And then you go on to the next thing.
That's you're absolutely right. And I totally agree with you. You know, I get whacked every now and then by people who think that I'm too dark, you know, and I get this, you know, Robert, if you just focused on the light more. and I'm like, you don't quite get it. You know, I am not dark. What I am attempting to do here is to dispel, using your phraseology, to dispel the darkness. And from that point, then we can have a different kind of discussion about what we want to create. But it's just like, you know, when you go into your house, I mean, at a very fundamental level, you know, if you've got a dirty house, you need to clean it up. You know, if you want to get into a higher sort of maintenance of the house, you might smudge. You might bring in frankincense and myrrh, some sort of incense, orgone, whatever.
Right.
But you got to clear it out first. And so we have to clear out the kind of lower level density kind of, you know, reality that we're all commingling in to some extent. And then we can have a different kind of discussion. But yeah, I mean, I don't linger there either, but there's so much happening now that it's almost incumbent upon us to stay engaged in that process.
I completely agree, because I have the same discussion. I mean, I have a lot of really intelligent friends, and they see and understand a lot of this stuff, but they can't, like, they can't deal with it. And maybe I'm just wired enough to where I can deal with it and not get overcome by the fear or whatnot. But I mean, to me, the real danger is to just let it go on and not say anything, because then that's when it's really dangerous. When you have, if you're an alcoholic or a heroin addict or a gambling addict or whatever, if you have a problem, if you have something that's poisoning your environment, if you don't know what the problem is, or you don't know what the illness is, how can you possibly fix it? You can't just ignore it. So to me, you call it out, you cast light on it, and then that kind of breaks the spell a bit, if you will, at least calls it out and, you know, makes people aware of the ways they're being programmed and what's being done to them. So my belief is when you see the stuff, you got to call it out.
Well, here, I'm going to throw this out there, and I'd love to get your thoughts on this. My sense is that people who can deal with the darkness or can deal with the shadow or can deal with layers of complexity that are not sort of, you know, black and white, so to speak, I'm betting in most cases these people have experienced some form of significant trauma in their life. And as a result of that trauma, they've been able to kind of overcome it and deal with it, but they've been initiated into a type of reality, a type of emotional shock that other people who may not have experienced trauma have no understanding of, and therefore cannot begin to approximate or even venture into that area because it is so potentially painful for them to kind of go there. So a lot of people that have trauma have, in many instances, kind of shamanic experiences where they get in touch with the underworld They feel it, they experience it, and then they've got to, you know, free themselves and liberate themselves. And from that point forward, the material does not have the same kind of emotional or psychological import upon them. What do you think of that?
I think that's exactly correct. And I'm going to butcher this too as well, but I heard as far as trauma, I would even maybe just say Plutonian types. A lot of us would have this heavy Pluto signature. I had a great lecture on it, not to date how old I am, but this is shortly after the dinosaur side. I had some cassettes of some astrology lectures. This is right before the Civil War started when I was younger. I think it was a guy named Rio Oleski.
I know Rio.
Yeah, okay, I think it was him. But he did, it was a lecture on Pluto, and it was all about the Persephone and Erish Kegel, about, you know, the two sisters. One of them was taken down into the underworld, and, and the sister went down to save her, even though she would undergo torture and stuff. But when we undergo those Plutonian events, those kind of help us dig deeper, and we find these, you know, powerful gifts and abilities we have that if we didn't have to really reach down to the gut level of our resources, we would not have known that we had those, you know, energy. Just like you see in the newspaper, you know, somebody's kid gets hit and is trapped under a car and the mom will lift the car up. You know, you don't, right, until you got to really get down into the Plutonian muck and transform. And then once you do, you know, it's like those, you know, the abstract paintings where the images are hidden and it's like, and you can't see it. And then finally the one day you see it, and then you always see it. You always get it after that once you figure it out.
Yes. Yes. And you know, so the Plutonian experience is often linked with trauma. So perhaps, you know, we're talking about the same thing and just bringing a little astrological reference point into it. So, you know, we live in Plutonian times. You know, Pluto and Capricorn is no bullshit, man. This is a serious time we're in.
Yep.
And we're all having to get hip to Pluto's trip on some level. And here's an interesting Pluto story. Check this out. All right. A.K.A. Caitlyn Jenner,
yes.
Chris Kardashian, and our other Kardashian, the woman with the very large derriere. They all have Pluto in the third. They all have Pluto in the 10th house. All three of them have Pluto in the 10th house.
Yeah, if you... I try to stay away from this, but that usually doesn't work either. If you want to see a story of human sacrifice, look at what happened to the men around the Kardashian women.
Oh, it's all bad news.
Yep,
every single one of them is bad news. They've all been traumatized, or somebody around them has died, or it's you know, they change sexes, they go into comas. I mean, come on now. That's
right.
You know, you don't want to get anywhere near that.
To me, the biggest conspiracy theory ever is randomness. You know, I mean, that's why I want to ask some of the people that kind of argue about, you know, is there an Illuminati, and is there it's like, you know, how many times in a row do you have to? There was 96 murders, I believe, in Columbus last year. So if I was a reporter or a cop or something, if I saw a guy standing on the corner at the crime scene after the murder, okay, so there's a guy in the corner, no big deal. But what if every murder scene I went to, that same guy was standing on the corner? How many times would that have to happen before some people would start to think, hey, maybe this guy has something to do, or this guy is at the scene of every murder? I mean, how many times does, for people that believe in randomness or, you know, coincidence, I mean, how many times in a row does something have to happen before the switch in your head goes, huh, that's weird.
Well, there's levels of weird too, though. So I'm gonna bring this into one of the topics you wanted to talk about tonight, which was the Rams going back to Los Angeles.
Okay.
So we have the Rams going back to Los Angeles under a Mercury retrograde, which you know about, right? Mercury, Capricorn, the goats, the ram. Makes sense.
Yep.
They go back to Los Angeles. It's the year of the Rams, the waning days of the year of the Ram. In fact,
right.
I think, if I'm not mistaken, this weekend is the first new moon. No, so we got full moon, so it's 2 weeks from now. So the first new moon in 2 weeks, so we have the fire monkey kicking in about 2 weeks. So we have the waning days of the year of the Ram. Now, I'm sure you probably looked at this. On the night that the Rams are about to go back to California, Lawrence Phillips is murdered in his jail cell.
Yes. And couldn't have a better human being.
Lawrence Phillips, ex-Ram.
Yes.
So we have the sacrificial Ram.
Yes.
Upon
how biblical
of it. Now, how random is that?
Right. And he was the number one draft choice, of course, the year he came out of college. I hadn't put that one in. I'd put together because Tua was kind of a weird Mars-Aries thing, because this happened last week, Sunday night in the UK, David Bowie dies. Monday, early Monday morning, the news hits about Bowie, who, which you mentioned in your blog there, had the Mars the Mars Sun conjunction in his chart. And then,
right,
you do a little telegram of Mars and you get Rams. So Tuesday is when the Rams. The vote came back that they could move, and then add in the Lawrence Phillips thing.
Right.
There's
very,
always
very
sacrifice.
High strange. There's high strange all over the place. You know, I don't know if you heard that show, which was on Bowie's birthday, the 8th, and I looked at his chart, and I saw that he was not going to be around for a while. I mean, he was on his way out, and it was very strange for me to see that in his chart. And it was like, I got very quiet on that Friday. And I said, and these were the words, let's appreciate him while we can. And then I moved on to the next thing, because I was seeing his passing in his chart. Now, I didn't necessarily see it in 2 days, but I knew it was coming. And I would be very, very surprised if he would have lasted this year. But I just felt it. I saw it, and there it was. And I woke up on Monday with a text that says, RIP Ziggy Stardust. I was like, are you kidding me? And then I got online, and I started to – I thought it was a hoax, but there it was. And the only thing that bums me out – I know this is going to sound really bad. Okay. The only thing that bummed me out is that Glenn Frey died, and I have no real love for the Eagles or Glenn Frey, but after Glenn Frey died, they started playing more Eagles music and less David Bowie music. It really kind of bummed me out a little bit.
Bowie was heavily into the Kabbalah and the Aleister Crowley stuff. There's all kinds of
Station to Station. Magical Treatise. Just listen to the whole record. It's in there.
Yep.
Yep.
And you look too, his first kind of big personality was Ziggy Stardust and the Spiders from Mars. So then you've got, he's got the Mars-Sun conjunction in his chart. It was literally...
That's right.
Have his band name, and then we have the Mars Rams thing on the death, and involved then with Lawrence Phillips in there. I don't know how much you can get.
Well, okay, so check this out. So, what you know, I interviewed Bowie many years ago, and one of the things he told me, and I told this story on the air, and I've talked about it on Facebook, but he told me that every year, the closer he got to his birthday, it was as if these two little nubs, one on either side of the forehead, would begin to protrude, you know, from his forehead kind of into his skin. It was like he was growing horns. I mean, he admitted this to me. And then after his birthday, they would go away. I thought, well, that's kind of interesting. So even there, you have your ram-like comments or ram-like association with Bowie. Very wild stuff. So what does all this mean? You know, how do we interpret these events and these symbols and these synchronicities? What's it all about, Alfie?
Yeah, I mean, too, you've got the you know, David Bowie, the Capricorn, the goat symbolism, the goat with the horns. And then, too, I don't know if you know about this, there's a song, I have the second track on the newest album, his last album, Black Star. Second track is called "'Tis Pity She Was a Whore." So David Bowie dies on a Sunday night. The first line of the second song is, "Where the fuck did Monday go?"
Right. Right. And he apparently he even predicted his death to the day years from now. Here's what I think. I think Bowie had, you know, medically or clinically assisted suicide. That's what I think.
Oh.
I think he probably could have sustained himself for who knows how much longer, but he was probably ready to go. And I think he hemlocked his way out of here. That's what I think.
Oh, interesting. Interesting.
Because he was a control freak. In life, I mean, he was such a control freak with his records, and everything about him was so controlled. I mean, it was all that Capricorn and all behind the scenes, all 12th house. So why wouldn't he be in control of his own passing in such a kind of, you know, I don't know, Capricornian kind of way?
Wow. That's, yeah, mind blown. Another song. I wish my fingers communicated better with my brain.
Well, hey, so what about this new planet? Have you seen this thing on the new planet?
I have seen this. Yeah, I mean, it's getting the Nibiru talk going again.
Black Star.
Black Star, exactly. Well, and two, you know, Bowie's death is announced 3 days after his birthday. And, you know, the third track on the new album is Lazarus.
Right.
I mean, come on. You'd have to convince me long and hard to say this is all randomness and not some kind of additional. I've seen some pictures and video that, I mean, I know this is 2016 and everything can be edited and Photoshopped and stuff, but I think there may be something. I think there's something to this. The problem is we're probably not really going to find out until it's really like too late to do anything about it.
Right.
I don't know really what we do with the planet anyway. But.
Yeah. Hey, enjoy life while you can.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely. And also, interestingly, Bowie's first album came out on June 1st, 1967. So that was just like 3 months after I was born. So that I do charts for groups and artists and stuff like this, like outside of their birth charts, like because when they first put out an album, that's kind of like when they are connected to the mass consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
So, June 1st, 1967, since that's right after me, I know that that's a very tight Uranus-Pluto conjunction, which, so the release date of his first album, that chart was getting hit exact by the Jupiter-Neptune conjunction, within like a degree, 2 degrees, I think it was.
Right, uh-huh.
So just kind of interesting now how all of his music is coming, not that he ever really went away, but, you know, really hit back into the mass consciousness again.
Yeah, and it's also fascinating that it was June 1st and under the sign of Gemini, and he's always had this kind of bipolar output with his work, you know, taking on all these different personas, and he would go from kind of one genre to another genre to another genre, which is very Gemini. He's always playing with styles, and some people, you know, really accuse him of being kind of an auteur, never going too deeply into anything, and always chasing sort of the sound of the day. And I don't see him like that. I mean, I think that Bowie was both profound and deep, and also at times very superficial. And he was an artist that wanted to be liked, and at some point, at any level, you want to sell a bunch of records. You know, because you want your message out there. You want to have some sort of mainstream credibility. But there's always that dance as to, you know, what happens when you sort of chase the tail like that. You know, here's an interesting factoid, that the Beatles' first album was released in North America. It was not the U.S. first, but it was in Canada. And it was released the day that John Kennedy was shot. So their first North American release, the day that John Kennedy was shot. And then quickly after John Kennedy was shot, Beatlemania starts up. And all of a sudden, everybody who's been traumatized by the Kennedy assassination gets a full dose of Beatlemania. There's another Tavistock group right there, the Beatles. And really sets the kind of trajectory of the 60s off into a very, very different direction in a post-traumatic headspace. So there's an interesting...
Skelter, if you will?
Yes, a helter skelter, if you will. Absolutely. But that, I did a pretty deep kind of sort of, you know, dredging of Kennedy during that time and that timeline. That album shows up. And a lot of Beatles... sort of pieces show up along the way around Kennedy and Bobby Kennedy. It's very interesting stuff.
Oh, wow. I'd like to see a copy of that. If you have a digital copy, you can post somewhere.
Yeah, so it's on my website. I did a whole thing on Kennedy and 9/11 and the alternative timeline and the Beatles pretty heavily in that equation. But I don't have my computer right now under Mercury retrograde. Of course, it's getting fixed.
Right. Yeah. Okay. So I'll just Google that, and I should be able to come up with it. Another interesting factoid: David Bowie and Elvis had the same birthday. Elvis born in 35, Bowie in 47.
Right.
But interestingly, Bowie's last album is called Black Star. Elvis actually had a song called Black Star, and it kind of disappeared. I think it got cut from the album it was supposed to be on, and then later kind of came out under a slightly different name, I believe. But you can, in fact, I've got it. If you're Facebook friends with me, I've got it posted on my wall under the links to the show.
I've definitely seen that, and it's, you know, fascinating connections between Bowie and Elvis, and I'm sure you probably know the story, but Elvis was a twin, and theoretically his brother died at birth. Now, there is this esoteric principle theory: when twins are born, if one of the twins dies, sort of the essence and the power and the life force goes from one twin to the other. So There have been people who have speculated that Elvis's twin didn't die. It was actually ritually sacrificed, and the energy transferred into Elvis. Now, I don't know if that's true or not, but I've heard this. And Elvis comes from a lineage of theosophists. He was very into theosophy. So Elvis had a very evolved, esoteric nature and principle that a lot of people don't know about. And I've also heard, by the way, this is interesting. This is really interesting, is that Elvis apparently at one time was in possession of the Spear of Longinus. I'd heard that he had that before, the Spear of Destiny. There's some Elvis, weird Elvis factoids for you.
Very interesting.
And then you have Bowie playing Pontius Pilate in the movie The Last Temptation of Christ.
Oh my gosh, I'd forgotten about that.
Yeah. Inquisitor Jesus. Right. Here's another weird factoid. I talked about this last Friday. So who plays Jesus in that movie? It's Willem Dafoe.
Right.
And Bowie plays a vampire in a movie called The Hunger. And The Hunger is actually one of Willem Dafoe's first movies. So they cross paths in both of those films as well.
I love Willem Dafoe. He's one of my favorite actors.
He's great. He's totally great. Yeah.
So one last factoid on the Rams here, and I'll close that file. Just something that's interesting is the chart for the city of Los Angeles. The North Node, 26 degrees Aries. The chart for the Rams, and I use the relocated chart whenever a team moves. So the correct chart for the St. Louis Rams is September 3rd, 1995. Actually, their first game was against the Packers. And they have a South Node of 28 degrees Aries. So the South Node of the St. Louis Rams chart hits on the north node of the chart for Los Angeles, and then under a Mercury retrograde with Uranus at 20-some degrees of Aries, the Rams remove or go back to Los Angeles. And as far as the Mercury retrograde, we also had the Iranian hostages released, which that was a peculiar situation. And then we have Bowie returning to outer space and the X-Files getting ready to come back to TV. And
we have these retrograde kinds of motions and activities going backwards in time. Very interesting stuff. Really interesting.
Right.
X-Files. So what is Chris Carter going to lay on us next now? What kind of predictive programming could we be in store for?
well, here was the first thing that jumped out at me that is really weird. The NFL Conference Championship games are this Sunday. X-Files starts after the NFC Championship game. So they're saying about 10 o'clock. So the moon is in Leo all day on Sunday. The moon goes void of course at 9:51 p.m. So supposedly 9 minutes before the first X-Files episode starts, the moon goes void of course in the sign of Leo. And it's also 1 day before Mercury goes direct. And then the interesting thing, too, is David Duchovny and Gillian Anderson are both Leo sun signs.
Right.
So it's interesting. Right, X-Files coming back during a Mercury retrograde, right, as it's about to go direct, and the two stars are Leo, and the moon is void of course in the sign of
Leo. Well, I don't like the void of course for the beginning of that show. I mean, not that I have any
investment.
Return to X-Files, but that would, to me, that would mean that this show will not get a very long run.
Well, I believe what is scheduled is that it's only supposed to be like 6 episodes. I think there's 4 episodes that will deal with the, you know, the long time storyline, and then there's supposed to be 2 one-off, you know, creature freak of the week shows. So I don't know if they plan that way, but yeah, I would be hoping for the Panthers and Cardinals to run the ball a lot so the game ends early so you can start the X-Files at 9:50 instead of 10 is what I would be doing.
Right. Interesting. So who do you like this weekend?
The AFC is a problem because the home team usually wins in the playoffs between the Broncos and Patriots. They've met 3 times in like the last decade, and the home team's won every time. I slightly like the Broncos. The weird thing is about it is you can't use the team's charts, which is what I mainly use, because they have the same chart. They both started first. Oops. There's way too many papers in here. I'm a fire hazard.
So they started in the AFL at the same time?
Yeah, 1960. September 9th, 1960, 7:55 p.m., they actually played each other. So their charts are exactly, their charts are exactly the same.
Yeah, but we have Peyton Manning, who is an Aries, the Ram. And
yeah.
Tom Brady, the Leo.
Right. And then you have to look at also Bill Belichick is an Aries as well.
That's
so
right.
Out of the coaches, out of the 4 main people there, you've got 3 fire signs. My contempt for the Patriots is hard to conceal. I almost wanted to just pick the Patriots to win the Super Bowl every year just to see if I can get a jinx going, which happens sometimes. I think the best unit is the Broncos defense out of there. Brady has not played very well at Denver his last few trips.
Right.
I have the Broncos winning like 30-27.
Well, that's a lot of points for that. I mean, Peyton Manning is wincing every time he throws the ball. That's a lot of points, but I would not be surprised if the Broncos win. So the 3 fire signs, I'm assuming, are Gary Kubiak, Ron Rivera, and Bill Belichick, right?
No, actually, that's just on the AFC. Between the coaches and quarterbacks, there's 3 fire signs. The NFC, this is even weirder, the NFC is all Earth. Cam Newton is a Taurus.
Taurus, yeah.
Carson Palmer, Capricorn.
Uh-huh.
I just wrote all this out. Where did it go? Ron Rivera, Capricorn. And
Aries is a Libra.
Oh, wait. I have too many pages of notes here. Yes, there was only one coach.
Bruce Aries is a Libra.
Oh, here we go. Kubiak is a Leo. So all 4 on the AFC are fire signs. And then, there's only one coach that does
that. Isn't that interesting how they split? So you've got the Aries coach with the Patriots and the Leo quarterback with the Patriots and the Aries quarterback with the Broncos and the Leo coach with the Broncos.
Right. How symmetrical.
That is really symmetrical.
Right.
And you've got the Capricorn and the Capricorn quarterback. See, now, if Bruce Arians was a Taurus, everything would fit. But he's the guy that breaks mold. However, he's Libra, Venus ruler, so, you know, kind of, sort of, in the same boat. But,
right, because then you've got the same thing there in the NFC. Rivera, the coach of Carolina, is a Capricorn, and Palmer... that is bizarre.
Exactly. It's really bizarre. So, but Bruce Arians is the outlier, bringing the Libra into the mix. So who do you like? Let's hear what you got.
I've been agonizing over this one because it ends up one of those scenarios where the Panthers have a transit that's a little tighter by aspect, but the Cardinals have two planets that have a tight aspect. So that it gets into that, are two planets with a little looser aspect more powerful than one with a tighter aspect? I think the Cardinals are a little bit better team. I like the Cardinals by 3 points. So I'm taking the two underdogs by 3 points. The Panthers and Patriots, as of right now, are both favored by three.
Is the moon going to be in square with Cam Newton's son on Sunday?
I don't think so, because it should be at the late degrees. Let me see. Cam is an early Taurus, I think. He's May 11th, so he's right in the middle. It looks like it will be just past the square. So I would think that would be a little bit of his energy starting to decline just a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. So, will the moon conjunct Brady's sun during that day?
I don't know. Brady is. I think so. Early in the day, it does. Because Brady's like an August 14th guy, I believe.
So he's around, what, 20 degrees, Leo?
Yeah. No, I'm wrong. I'm way wrong. He's August 3rd. He's an August 3rd. So now the moon will not hit his sun. So it'll be past the conjunction to that. So that should be maybe a little downtick in energy for him as well.
Interesting.
So maybe I'm just dreaming, but I'm going with the Cardinals and Broncos.
Cardinals, Broncos. So we're going to be, what about the Sun opposition for Brady? Isn't that going on?
It's not going to be within aspect. It'll be, because he's August, well, it'll be close. Yeah, it'll just be getting into that 10-degree orb. It shouldn't be exact, though, because the sun just went into Aquarius Wednesday night, so it'll be at, like, what, 4 degrees Sunday, 4 or 5 degrees?
Yep.
And sun is probably at, like, 11-ish.
Yeah, it's a bit wide. Well, so I think that the energies are I think Cam Newton gets a little bit of a pass out of that square, and then Brady gets a little bit of a pass out of the opposition. I'm going to go, I hate to say this, I'm going to go Broncos. I'm going to go Patriots. Pull one out, Mile High Stadium, and I'm going Panthers. Patriots. I'm taking the cheese over the chalk. The chalk or the cheese. Chalk or the cheese. Yeah. Although I do like the Cardinals. I like Bruce Arians. I like a lot of the guys in the team. I think it'd be a great story for Bruce Arians to win a Super Bowl. It seems like a cool dude. But I from what I've seen, and we're probably boring the hell out of everybody here, but from what I've seen, I just don't think Carson Palmer has it in him to play a big game. I've not seen it. Maybe since USC, I haven't seen it.
Yeah, I mean, I like those. He's got three receivers that can make big plays. If Larry Fitzgerald does what he did in the fourth quarter against the Packers, they will be hard to beat.
He's tremendous.
Yeah, he had almost 200 yards in about 10 minutes of play there.
Hey, real quick, because I know we're getting to the top of the hour and probably going to transition off here, but we should talk about the economy for a little bit.
Yeah, and that's gonna lead up to that. I have another little interesting thing here, which would seemingly be unrelated, but not to crazy people like me. So December 20th. We had Steve Harvey, a Capricorn, hosting the, and I forgive me if you've talked about this on your show recently, Steve Harvey, the Capricorn, being the presenter at the Miss Universe Awards, which interestingly was at the Planet Hollywood, right next to the Paris Hotel. So, and that's where the woman drove up onto the sidewalk and killed a couple of people,
right,
and injured a couple of others.
Right.
So Steve Harvey accidentally crowns Miss Columbia, Columbine, Columbia, Semiramis, Statue of Liberty. The goddess that our Statue of Liberty was created after by the French Freemasons.
Right.
So we have Columbia, I guess, representing the United States at this point. He puts the crown on her accidentally and then takes it off. So we have the Capricorn, Pluto, removing the crown from Semiramis's head, who Miss Columbia, Ariadna Gutierrez, who's, I thought, you can't make this shit up. You can't make this shit up. What's her birthday? Her birthday is December 25th.
Wow.
So she's got the Capricorn removing the crown from the goddess Columbia, whose birthday is 5 days after that, and on the solstice, on the 3 days after the solstice. Again, we can get into the, I could do astrotheology for 10 hours, but I'm not going to. Anyways, you understand the symbolism there. And it actually goes,
yeah,
to Miss Philippines, Pia Alonzo Wurzbach, who is September 24th. So she's also born like one day off the solstice. So you got the three cardinal signs up there. Two Capricorns, one of them born on Christmas. So we have, which is, you know, I think associated with the Christian, you know, Judeo-Christian religion in the United States. So him removing the crown from her head and then giving it to the Libra, scales, balance, justice. And then we have,
right,
the economy hit the toilet after that, after we have the ceremonial uncrowning of America as the financial leader.
Oh, that's a
where
great one, yeah.
There's a sacrifice right outside next to the Paris Hotel.
Right. Yeah, so how do you line all this stuff up, right? I mean, come on now.
Right. I mean, that was just, that whole event just felt funny because, like, they're making, like, a huge deal about that. And I'm like, then when I saw the Paris Hotel, because we had the Paris, we'll call it the Paris terrorist attack. Then we had the San Bernardino attack, which actually happened just a few miles down the road from a little town called Paris with a slightly different spelling. I think it was Peris, which is right next to San Bernardino. And then we had,
yep,
the woman driving up on the sidewalk with a car, another human sacrifice, and it's right out front of where the Paris Hotel is, right next to the Planet Hollywood where the Miss Universe is.
Yeah, pretty wild stuff in the synchromystic canon, as it were. Wildness.
Yeah, and we didn't even touch on the drummer for Mott the Hoople, which the All the Young Dudes song was actually written by David Bowie. The drummer
That's
for
right.
Mott the Hoople dies exactly 1 week after Bowie does.
Right. not to be confused with Dallas Taylor, who died, what, 6 months ago or a year ago?
Right. I think people got ahead of themselves. They were just started searching for rock stars that had died. Like, oh, they look at this one.
Right, exactly. Let's get on the rock star train. And yet Keith Richard and Ginger Baker outlives everybody. They outlive everybody.
Yeah, you know, that's a few. I try not to preach fear, but if you want to know a day to be afraid, the day Keith Richards dies, that's when you know we're in trouble. Because that dude, I mean, when you've had multiple blood transfusions because of all the heroin in your body, and you're still thriving and touring and smoking and drinking, and the day Keith Richards dies, that's when I know that we're in trouble. That, because if something can kill Keith Richards, then by God, I don't know what's going to happen.
The end is nigh, as they say. Yeah.
But yeah, the economy kind of in the toilet here a little bit. I mean, the, you know, the Saturn-Neptune square is going on, and Pluto opposition to the U.S. Sun, and there's a lot of, you know, just a lot of, you don't hear the real stuff on the news, I don't think. But my daytime reality for the last 20-some years is I'm in the international shipping. I do export paperwork and deal with customs.
Oh,
and stuff.
So you know all about the Baltic Dry Index and what's happening there, huh?
Yes. Yes. So everybody knows the sexy names, just like with everything else. Everybody knows FedEx and UPS and DHL and stuff, and I've heard of those. But those guys deal in small packages. If you really want to know what's going on and what's moving in the world, you look at the ocean, the ship containers, where, I mean, there are ship lines that do nothing but haul freight back and forth from the United States to other countries and from other countries to other countries.
Right.
And so when that's where, I mean, each of these ships holds like 500 containers, you know, or more. They have a couple thousand now. But you know, these ships, I mean, literally billions of dollars of merchandise probably on some of these. And that's how, when you hear them talk about the GDP, the gross domestic product and stuff, that's kind of how it's measured. The companies that ship stuff, and again, I'm probably boring the shit out of people now too. The companies that ship stuff have to file something called an SED. It's a shipper's export declaration. And that is how the United States, anyways, figures out the gross domestic product by how much dollar value is filed on these SEDs, which is one of the things I do for a living. So, yes, the number of steamship lines that are moving, they're taking longer and longer time in dock because they're not getting enough freight to fill up a whole container to fill up a ship to make it worth their while to make money to take the product to
Australia, right.
Or Hong Kong or whatever. So that's
Can confirm this. I've heard that there's no freight going back and forth between the United States and Europe from the Atlantic side. Have you experienced that?
I read that in an article. Where I'm at now, I do not deal very much with Europe. It's mostly Australia and New Zealand and Asia and the Middle East. Now, we are moving freight to these places. We don't move much to, like, France and stuff anyways.
Right.
But now, we're still moving stuff, but what I am seeing is that there are dates where your product has to be to the dock and dates when you have to file the paperwork. So every day I look at days that freight has to be on the ship and when it's leaving. I am seeing that there is becoming a bigger gap in the departure times. Stuff is sitting at the dock for in some cases, maybe twice as long, which means that they are not getting the product, enough product to fill up the ship, which means that there's less, fewer goods being shipped around the world. And everything goes by container, like clothes, perishables, furniture, shoes, any product that you can sell, somebody selling large amounts of them that you need a 40-foot container as opposed to a 2-foot box worth. So when you
right.
see a drop-off in the number of ships that are moving and stuff, that is a real tangible indicator of where the economy is going.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, they call that the Baltic Dry Index, if
yes.
I'm not mistaken. And it, and it is an accounting of how many empty containers there are at any given time. And we're in a whole new kind of zone with the Baltic Dry Index count, which you know you're probably confirming here. And then you add in the whole oil piece with the glut of oil. And they can't even bring these tankers into port down here in Texas. They're lined up
yes.
for miles.
Pictures.
Because they can't get rid of the oil. They can't process it fast enough. So we're in a very precarious state here economically. And, you know, I've been looking at the retrograde cycles this year. And the three retrograde cycles are all happening in the Earth signs. You know, what was really interesting about this last retrograde cycle, which I know you probably picked up on this, but Bowie was 1 degree Aquarius, ascendant. So Mercury was stationed on his ascendant and then went backwards into his 12th house, which is really kind of an interesting moment. Kind of, you know, it's almost mythological, really. But getting back to the Earth signs, we've got the Mercury retrograde in Taurus coming up in May. I think my sense here, Mark, is that we're going to have a major seismic economic event in May with this Mercury retrograde in Taurus. Now, it'll be like one of those earthquakes that gets people's attention, but it won't take a city down. However, in September, when we go into the third Mercury retrograde of the year in Virgo, that's a significant one. Again, Earth sign resources, metals, starting in May with the Mercury retrograde Taurus. It's just before the election. And history has shown that every 8-year cycle, when a new president comes in, there is a major financial catastrophe in the making. So my feeling is that this Mercury retrograde in Virgo in September is a big one. And it's a precursor to what's going to happen when the next president, whoever that might be, sits in that seat in Washington. And it's going to be a very different time, I think, in 2017. Very, very different. I would not be surprised if the dollar is devaluated. We're looking at maybe 25 to 40% less on the dollar. The global reset might come in during that time. And it won't be pretty. It will not be a pretty time. And the austerity that they peddled in Europe, especially with Greece and some of the other countries, Spain, Portugal, Italy, I have a feeling it's coming to the United States. And that's my sense around this. And the May period with that Mercury retrograde Taurus will give us some indicator around that.
Yeah, I agree, because the Mercury retrogrades this year all take place in Earth signs for the most part. There's a day or two here and there that's out of an Earth sign, but most of the Mercury retrogrades were in Earth signs this year. And then, too, that's leading up to, I think it's late next year when Uranus actually goes into Taurus.
That's right.
Presidential election is a one-termer I don't care who it is. I don't care if it's somebody whose chart I haven't seen yet. Whoever wins this election is a one-termer. Because I don't just people are going to kill me for this, but just looking at the 2020 election, the week of the 2020 election, there is a Saturn, Jupiter, Pluto stellium in Capricorn, which gets squared by a stationary Mars in Aries the week of the 2020 election.
Well, that's what I plan on running, Mark.
Okay. Excellent.
That's great for me.
Okay. Well, I know you're extremely busy here and you're trying to play catch up and you got your show tomorrow. So just if we can take a second and tell people where to find you and where the names of your shows and when they're on and so how they can... I can't recommend your show highly enough. I love your show.
Well, thank you. And I always enjoy coming on here and talking with you. And whenever you pop into my show, it's always great to have you. My shows are on Blog Talk Radio, this network that you're listening to currently. And it's the Friday Farcast. I usually have guests, but I've been just been me. I've been my own guest lately. And that's on Fridays, and it's at 12 noon. Central Standard Time. And then I have a Sunday night show that's dedicated to astrology. Friday, I tend to go pretty far afield and look at a bunch of stuff. But Sunday night, 10 o'clock, Central Standard Time, Blog Talk Radio, that's 11th House Radio. And I will be back. I can't believe it. They're bringing me back to Guyan. And I'm going back there in February, so I get to do another show with Regina. And apparently the firestorm I started... when I was there last time, won't deter them from having me back. So, props to Regina, my Scorpio pal. I'll be back there in February.
Yes, the wonderful Regina Meredith, Guyan TV.
Yep, that's right, Regina Meredith. And then, of course, if you want to check out my website, I have not been doing a lot of writing lately because I've just been so busy working with people and doing readings. But that's robertphoenix.com, and there's a ton of material up there. You can play around there and check that out. So there you go.
Okay, my friend. Well, we wish you the best of luck, and I will pop into your Sunday show here sometime in the near future, and we'll keep in touch, and we'll definitely have you on again in a few months or so down the road. And see
well,
what's,
sounds great, Mark. And like I said, always a pleasure. You're an amazing astrologer, and you're a great dude. And I always enjoy hanging out with you.
All right, thank you, my friend. We appreciate you greatly.
All right, take care, Mark.
Okay, bye bye.
Bye bye.
Bye guys. Okay, so that was our good friend Robert Phoenix. His show is fantastic. Please feel free to check it out. And again, just like my show, you can go to the archives. I'm working during the days now, so I don't always get to listen to his Friday show live, but you can go check out the archives at any time. He's got great stuff, great guests. We have a lot of, we get along well, we got a lot of similar interests, so we'll definitely look forward to having him back on in the near future. So this was the first evening show for me, for my shows. Actually, I think I kind of like the energy a little bit better here in the evening. Noontime thing had a little less energy. So I'm planning on, just real quick, I have a meetup. If you're in the Central Ohio area, this Saturday, 7 p.m. at Mystic Nirvana. I'll be breaking down the entire year of 2016, and we'll be looking at David Bowie's chart a little bit, like we talked about here. Yes, Robert is a Virgo. He's exactly opposite of me. I'm 29 degrees Pisces. He is 29 degrees Virgo. I had a question in the chat room there. So my class be this Saturday, drum circle at Garcia's restaurant after that, then the Monday show at 7 p.m. on Monday with Iggy and Adriana and David Two Crows. And then, again, I'm available for readings. You can find me at www.twofishesastrology.com. We'll be at Ash Cave drumming on Super Bowl Sunday, February 7th. Pick up your copy of Hexagon magazine. And my next show will be Wednesday. It's looking like it will be Wednesday, February 3rd. Yes, Wednesday, February 3rd, probably a little earlier in the evening. And it looks like my guest is going to be Joost van Dyk. You will want to follow this guy. This is a extremely intelligent individual. You can find him at endorphination.blogspot.com and at Joost, JoostVanDyke.guru. And professional classical pianist, fine art photographer, Pilates instructor, psychic, master at tarot astrology and astro mantra. He's a treat. He is an extremely sharp individual, and I very much look forward to having him on here on my next episode. And I've got several other new guests that we will be lining up here in the near future. And I will be I'm going to post his website here real quick so you can get a gander. So in the chat room there, there is Joost's website. Will be a great conversation there. So I want to thank everyone for listening. Have a good Friday and a good weekend. Go Broncos. So I think I can't find my samples. Okay. So that's going to be about it for tonight. Have a great weekend, everyone. Thanks for tuning in. Check out Robert Phoenix's show. Here we are.
Mark, time to return to the ship.
Should not be afraid of their governments. Governments should be afraid of their people.